Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com is presented by the National Children's Cancer Society, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, Design Air Heating and Cooling, Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert, and by Schnucks. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on Scoops with DannyMac.com. And a lot of topics to get into with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch and a contributor to KTRS Radio. We'll get into last night's Blues game. How about the goaltender, Mr. Bennington, stopping 28 of 29 shots? What happens at the trade deadline for the St. Louis Blues? It was soccer night. Any news with MLS? We'll get into that. Some Cardinal news to get into. Jose Martinez, would they trade him? What would Ben Fredrickson's starting five be if the season started today? Any more moves for the Cardinals? SLU or Mizzou, do they get into the NCAA tournament, especially for SLU with the loss of Cartier Gordon? We'll get into the national championship. Where is Mizzou right now in football? All that is coming up on Scoops with DannyMac.com. A reminder, the 7th annual Evening with the Cardinals is coming up Saturday, January 26th at St. Louis Union Station Hotel. I'll be the MC. Presented by the National Children's Cancer Society. The featured guests will be Cardinals Hall of Famers Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. By the way, I have a podcast that I just dropped yesterday with Chris Carpenter. Also, there'll be a special VIP reception featuring the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. This has an open bar, a dinner, a huge auction. To be a sponsor or to get your tickets, head to thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. This event has raised over $1.3 million for families battling childhood cancer. Again, the event coming up on January 26th, thenccs.org. Long conversation coming up. Ben Fred Fridays with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. At the Home Loan Expert Office, we truly bleed blue. We skate around the competition and we get our clients lower rates on better loans. If the credit cards have you in the penalty box, let us get you out with a cash-out refinance. The 5-minute loan approval available at thehomeloanexpert.com. All together now.
Let's go, Blues!
Enjoy the podcast.
Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on Scoops with DannyMac.com. It's our chance to visit every Friday with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch and a contributor to KTRS Radio. And Ben, last night, the Blues on home ice, a positive. It's a win. We see Bennington stop 28 of 29 shots and a positive between the pipes, positive on the ice. It's a soccer night, MLS. The fans fired up about that. But let's start with the goaltender. Jake Allen sits. The Blues, positive in terms of what they're seeing with the goaltender. It's been an up-and-down season, but maybe this is a spark for the St. Louis Blues.
Well, I certainly would like to see Jordan Bennington get some more starts. I was kind of trying to wrap my head around the Blues not starting him after a shutout. It used to be that if you had a shutout, you started the next game no matter what. It was just kind of the way it went, and I was a little befuddled that they didn't put him out there the next game. Of course, they lost the next game, and Allen gave up, one of the softest goals that we've seen him give up in some time. He's been very bad at home. Right now, the Blues are getting ready to go on a long road trip, but, man, play the hot hand. What do you have to lose? And it wasn't this isn't all that different from around the time last year where Carter Hutton kind of became the guy that gave the Blues a surge when they really needed it. And maybe Bennington can't do that, but I sure would like to find out, because I don't know that Allen is going to give you anything different than what we've seen so far this season.
You know, that's the thing. I think you know what you have in Jake Allen. The season now, you're past the halfway point. You might as well see if this is a spark that can get something going. Why not? Let it ride and see what you have in Bennington. And if it doesn't work, then you go a different direction. I'm with you, Ben. I think you let it ride and see what happens.
I don't know what the downside is. You're going to upset Jake Allen. He's been through a lot. I don't think he could be more upset than how he's played at stretches this season. The positive is you might catch a run into the All-Star break. There really is no downside. I think the Blues are in a spot where everybody knows what they're up against. I mean, they're going to have some magic here in order to have a chance of making the postseason. There's a lot of people that think, and I guess I'm probably in that camp, that there's no way they'll get there. But if you need magic and you have a 25-year-old goaltender who is on a two-way contract, who's had two remarkable, you know, starts in goal, then you don't kick magic in the mouth. You try to see if it can maybe, you know, change your season. So keep playing him. If he blows a tire, then, you know, okay, then go back to Allen, I guess. But I think at this point in time, there's really no other choice. It's ride the hot hand. And looking big picture, figure out your goalie situation, because, you know, long as the list now of guys who have been prioritized beneath Jake Allen, who are now playing well elsewhere, Carter Hutton was let go. You know, they let him move on because they committed to Jake Allen. Even a guy like Phoenix Copley, who right now is one of the hottest goalies in the National Hockey League, was moved on from because Jake Allen was the guy. At what point are the Blues going to stop letting good goalies go because they're more interested in Jake Allen? I know it's easy for me to say, I don't owe him the money. I get that he has the contract, but doubling down and tripling down on the contract that wasn't a good idea, in hindsight, it's not going to make it all of a sudden a good contract.
Yeah, I realize it's getting really crunch time right now for GMs around the NHL, and certainly for Doug Armstrong, because you look at the team and you say, hey, we've played with the best teams in the league, even on the road. We've beaten some of those teams, and yet at times we've looked like the worst team in hockey. And yet you look at the roster, O'Reilly, Tarasenko, Petrangelo, some of the best players in the world are right here with the St. Louis Blues. You're Doug Armstrong. Wear that GM hat. What do you think he thinks right now? Where do you go if you're Doug Armstrong with this team?
Well, he's in a corner, and he's backed himself into it, and it's not a comfortable place to be, because twice now, including the second time being when he fired Mike Yeo, he hung the blame predominantly on his own head and on the core of the team. He said our best players need to play better, and if they don't, then we're going to have to do something significant to shake up the core of this team. It was a similar speech that he gave when he fired Ken Hitchcock. So fool me once, fool me twice. At some point, Armstrong either has to address the problem or he becomes the problem. That's the spot that he's put himself in. And I think, you know, that's why you're hearing, you know, legitimate rumors about the Blues being willing to trade some really important pieces. And you're seeing these numbers of these scouts who are showing up at these Blues games. I mean, there are people watching this team wondering, if I'm a contender, what could we take from the Blues to maybe help us, you know, strap a guy in and be a better team headed into the postseason? I think you're going to have to look at, you know, letting go of a, you know, Alex Petrangelo, of trading even a Vladimir Tarasenko if the asking price is right, because Army now two times has said that if we're not going to get where we're going with this bunch, then we're going to have to shake up the core. And, you know, it's the core for the most part that is underachieved this season. Tarasenko's got, you know, the worst plus minus of his career. He's been disappointing. This will be his third season without being in an All-Star game. How disappointing is that the All-Star game is coming to St. Louis and Vladimir Tarasenko won't be in it? I mean, there would be a time when that was almost unheard of. Well, it hasn't been any time recently. You know, a lot of key players have underperformed on this team, and you're going to have to kind of send a message to the culture and to the clubhouse and, you know, the dressing room. It's not easy, but there's going to be some painful decisions that have to be made here. And I don't know that jettisoning, you know, a Patrick Maroon is going to be the message. You know, some of your newest guys, like Ryan O'Reilly, the Blues' lone all-star, have been this team's best players. So it's about the culture that's there. It's about the core that's there, and they got to do something to shake it up if they're not able to snap out of this run. And, you know, the odds are definitely against them at this point.
I realize it was a hockey night in St. Louis last night, but also a soccer night in St. Louis. Pretty cool to see the way that the fans responded to seeing Carolyn Kendall Betts, Jim Cavanaugh, and just kind of a celebration of what they're trying to do to bring soccer to town.
Yeah, it was good to see them out and about, and that energy is there, man. I mean, I get questions about MLS every week in my chat at STLT.com, and people are dying to know what's the latest, what's the update.
I think we all are.
A little quiet. Yeah, it's been a little quiet during the holidays. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but I do know a lot of people are eager to find out what the next step is, what the update is, and and hopefully we get some of that soon. And it's a tough spot, I think, for the group because they want to, you know, be in accordance with MLS, which prefers to keep things very quiet for their own reasons, and I get that. But also fans are dying to know, hey, what's going on? So, you know, a little breadcrumb here or there never hurt anybody for these St. Louis fans who are, over the years, when it comes to MLS, have been conditioned to believe that any week without some sort of progress is something to be scared about. And I'm not saying that's how they should be, but I can understand why they are that way, because how many times have they thought they might be getting a team? So I think a lot of people are eager to find out what's going on, and certainly a lot of people are excited to see any sign of, hey, there's MLS on TV, there's MLS on Twitter, and a lot of people are tuned in.
I would encourage fans that have gone to the website, scoopswithdannymack.com. There's an interview with Grant Wall, who is an insider from Sports Illustrated. He talked about being at the owners' meetings, and he talked about St. Louis being, in his mind, the front runner to get the 28th team in the expansion. Long interview with Grant, and also an updated interview with Chris Carpenter coming to town as well. Always nice to catch up with Chris. And I'm curious, Ben, and we're going to switch gears now to baseball. What's it like for you when you go down to spring training? And right now there's instructional camp happening down in Jupiter, Florida. What is it like for you when you go down to Jupiter, you see Chris Carpenter, Jim Edmonds, Ozzie, Bob Gibson, and some of the greats that are down there in uniform? What is it like for you when you see those guys in camp?
Man, to me, it's just a reminder of what the Cardinals are about, what they stand for, what it means to cover them. Not to get too like corny journalist on you, but I think, you know, to me it is really a reminder of, hey, this is really important to a lot of people. And, you know, it's a storied franchise. It's an heirloom for a lot of families. And it has a history that's really rich and compelling. And there isn't a day, you know, and I know that you feel this way, you know, calling the games, but you feel it writing it too. There's not a day where you can show up to the ballpark and go, hey, I'm going to mail it in today, because you're covering Cardinals baseball. And even when they're not, you know, playing as well as they want to play and as well as their fans want them to play, it still matters to so many people. I mean, the Cardinals could go 0-162 and there would be people who read every single inch of newsprint that's written about them and listen to every single word that's said about them on the radio or on a podcast. And it's a reminder for me of, hey, there's a lot of people who care about this. So you got to bring your A game when you're covering it. That's what it means. And I felt that since I was an intern at the Post-Dispatch, you know, when you would walk down the hallway to the clubhouse and you would see the photos on the walls of the journalists who've covered the team. I mean, it matters, and it matters to a lot of people. And then I think it really hits home when you see some of the other teams that don't have the history and don't have the fan base and don't have the interest. And it reminds you that we're pretty lucky to have jobs covering a team that so many people care about, because some of us wouldn't have jobs if so many people didn't care about this team.
It's been a lot of fun for me covering, no question about it, St. Louis Cardinals baseball. I want to remind you that Hair Saloons home base is right here in St. Louis. Founded in 1997, they now have 16 locations in St. Louis. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. I go there as long as the snow stays away this weekend. I'll take both my boys there. Matter of fact, I might take my oldest son's hair, use it for a mop to, matter of fact, clear away some of the snow off our driveway. You never know. It is a mop right now. They're going to clean him up at Hair Saloon for Men. We'll do that for $22, and for an extra $5, stress relieving scalp massage or neck shave. That's at Hair Saloon for Men. And if you love Blues hockey, like many fans do that tune into ScoopsWithDannyMack.com, join the party for St. Louis Blues action this season. One of Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill's 11 area locations. Score a hat trick of savings with great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. That includes Bud Family Beer Specials, $4 Jack Daniels Cocktails, $5.99 Blue Sampler Appetizers, the $4 Blue Note Bombs, and the all-new Golden Bread Cocktail for $5. And that is at Hotshot's Sports Bar and Grill. Three things that we talked about before going into doing this podcast, which was Jose Martinez, which is, you know, there's three things that we thought about talking about with the Cardinals, and Jose Martinez was one of them. I get asked all the time about Jose Martinez, which is, you know, I know you're asked in the Cardinal chats, you know, why haven't the Cardinals said, hey, you know, why haven't they traded him? Why is he still a guy that is still with the Cardinals? And my point has been that they haven't traded him because he's a valuable guy. I mean, he's a guy off the bench that is one of the premier pinch hitters, not just with the Cardinals, not just in the National League, but in all of baseball. And if Dexter Fowler doesn't work out, he is the fallback along with Tyler O'Neill. And I also think, Ben, that with that, there's something to be said in the fact that he's not an awful right fielder. I think people looked at him at first base and I don't want to say he was an awful first baseman. He wasn't good, but he's not a first baseman. He's an okay right fielder. Is he going to win a Gold Glove? No. But can you put him in right field? Can he play? And in the National League late innings, can you double switch him out in tight games? Sure. And so to me, he's a fallback and he's under your control for many years. So I think he's valuable. I don't understand why the national narrative has been, you got to get rid of him. You got to trade him. Well, why? To me, Jose Martinez has got to be with the Cardinals this year.
Well, I'm agreeing with you, and I actually hear from fans who say, why are the Cardinals talking about trading this guy? And that's really what I've asked, and I agree with that question. I think this all kind of stems back to last season, right, when the trade deadline was approaching, and the Cardinals were kind of really for the most legitimate time in recent memory wrestling with, do we buy or do we sell? And there was actually an argument that could be made that they could have and should have sold, right? And the guys that were kind of prioritized as, or the guys everybody knew would be the parts that you sell, were guys like Bud Norris, who was, you know, a very effective reliever and stepped up as closer for the Cardinals, but was not going to be back probably after his contract, 1 year contract was up. So deal him to a team that, you know, is looking for relief help. And the other guy right at the top of the list was Jose Martinez, who really was prime, you know, of prime interest to an American League team who wanted to add some DH help, or even a National League team that wanted some pop off the bench. And the Cardinals decided then to keep Jose and also Bud Norris because they were going to try to, you know, be more competitive and they wanted to keep going for it. They said, we're not going to all out sell. They did some kind of roster maintenance and traded Pham and gave more opportunities to the young guys, but they didn't flat out sell. And that kind of led to this offseason where for a while, like the Cardinals were coming out saying, like, basically we're looking to trade Jose Martinez. And it was never that clear, but when they said, you know, matter of factly that Jose Martinez was not a great fit on this team, not personality wise, everybody loves him, but in terms of his role, and when they made it clear that they weren't going to play him at first base anymore because they had gotten Paul Goldschmidt and moved Matt Carpenter to third base, and they did this big kind of pronounced recommitment to Dexter Fowler, in that moment, like we asked at winter meetings, like, okay, you're committing to Dexter Fowler, but where does Jose Martinez factor into this? And the response from the Cardinals at that time was basically like, well, you know, we'll see if he's around. And I'm paraphrasing here, but there was very much an emphasis on seeing what they could get for Jose Martinez via trade. And since they signed Andrew Miller and filled their need for the left-handed reliever, it seems like that maybe has cooled off some. And that makes sense because if they could trade him for a left-handed reliever with, you know, multiple years of control, he was a factor in the bullpen every other night or every night, then okay, maybe that's a fair trade for Jose Martinez. He is pretty much a DH on an NL team, but he's also your second most productive hitter the past two seasons, and that's not exaggeration. And I agree that if you put him in right field and you have Paul Goldschmidt in front of him protecting things on the line, and you have Harrison Bader in center field who his range is as good as probably anyone in the National League, then he is much less of a liability than playing him at first base. So I was adamant that if you're going to trade Jose Martinez, then please, for the love of all things holy, get something that helps this team in 2019. because the idea of trading him for prospects or trading him just to offload somebody or trading him in the kind of the Matt Adams way of giving him more opportunity somewhere else, I thought it was really undermining his value. And it seems like where things sit today with Andrew Miller on board, the Cardinals are not maybe as determined to trade Jose Martinez. I think that's a very good idea.
I couldn't agree more. As we talk now, give me your, and this is part two of three that we're going to address today. Give me your starting rotation as we speak here before the winter warm-up. Who do you think it would be?
Yeah, I think it's Michaelis. I think it's Carlos Martinez, Flaherty, and then I would say Waka and Wainwright. I think Adam Wainwright is going to be given every chance to be in the starting rotation. I think that's what he wants. I think that's obviously what the Cardinals want, and it would take some sort of, you know, physical setback or really concerning sign of non-performance in order to change that equation.
I'm pretty sure I don't need to remind you that you're going to need the right food, drinks, and snacks for the big game. I do want to suggest going to Schnucks for all your Sunday game day essentials. They have everything to make your party great, all in one stop. Have you seen their big bucket of wings yet? How about their brand new Schnucks chips and salty snacks? Take a look at the Schnucks party guide called Simply Entertaining. And when you're stocking up as a Schnucks Rewards member, you're always earning points. Stocking up for the big party means heading to Schnucks. I'm proud to announce a new sponsor for Scoops with DannyMac.com, and that's Design Air Heating and Cooling. You know, a few weeks ago, I was having an issue with my furnace, and I made a connection with Seth Goldkamp, who runs Design Air Heating and Cooling. He sent a technician over to my house. Not only did the technician arrive at my house, but so did Seth. They did a tune-up on my furnace. They got it running properly, but they also found a glitch in the system that is now saving me money on my monthly statement. That's all because of Design Air Heating and Cooling. They did that for me and my family. They can do that for you. They're a fourth-generation family-run company. They've been in business for over 100 years because they take care of their customers. The number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Find out more at designairservice.com. Thanks to Seth Goldkamp and Design Air Heating and Cooling. I like Martinez as the closer. I do. I want him there.
Oh, you're asking. I'm answering what I think it will be.
I know. I know.
So I think that's most realistic. But I'm eager to hear your thoughts on Carlos in the pen, because I think a lot of people saw how well he did that last year.
Me personally, I like him in as the closer. You know, and the thing is, I think the way you could sell him on that is that, look, he's made his money, right? He got the contract. So it's not like you're taking him out of a role to where he could be potentially paid as a starter. So he's made that money, and you can shorten the game with that bullpen, with Miller, with Hicks, with the bullpen that they'd have, with a guy like Martinez. And I like him coming to the ballpark competing every day. I just like that role. And I'm not sure I want to turn over the game yet to Hicks in the ninth inning. I'm just not sure that that's where I'd like him. And I also have concerns about what I saw last year with Martinez early in games, getting settled in. And I felt like there seemed to be something about him getting settled in and boom, just ready to roll right away and attacking hitters. And we'll see how it plays out, you know, when you get to spring training, and maybe in the back of the Cardinals' minds, that's something that they're thinking about and contemplating already. But if they don't go out and get another reliever, and the Kimbrel market really does interest me a lot, that is something I'd contemplate. I'd think long and hard about that. And there's the Alex Reyes factor as well. I mean, there's a lot of things, but Carlos Martinez is a closer right now, and you know, early mid-January is something I think about.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals do think about that. And I think it, you know, some of this is the shell game, right? If Carlos wants to be a starter, then it doesn't do the Cardinals any harm, you know, right now to say that he's a starter. Now, if he gets down to spring training and he has this kind of spring training that he had last season where he was, you know, there was off-the-field stuff and his spring training starts weren't sharp, and he was kind of searching, then that conversation, I think, could come back pretty quick. He did have a presence when he came in as a reliever this past season that, you know, reminded us of him when he was really locked in. He's kind of a guy who, you know, for better or for worse, seems to do better when there's no safety net. And that's kind of what he has to exist in out of the bullpen. And I agree that when you have a guy who struggles to show up on time at times and has times when he's not always, you know, kind of there mentally, then having him show up every day, not knowing if he's going to pitch and having to be prepared to pitch is not the worst thing in the world. So I hear the argument you're making and I see it. I think they're going to give him a chance to prove he can be a part in the rotation. I think overall his value is probably best as a starter.
Sure.
If he's reaching his potential. But I do think it's fair to say that, you know, at some point you either reach it or you don't. So then it becomes a decision of where is your most potential. And this, to me, is the spring training and the season that will really define that. Carlos had, you know, we forget this sometimes, and we should remember to point it out. When he was healthy, there were starts last season where he looked like he was a Cy Young material pitcher. And then he got hurt, and there was, you know, questions about did he do the best, you know, in rehab that he should have done? Was he taking care of himself the best way he could have? You know, that's part of this too. Does he have the diligence and the maintenance to be able to maintain himself as a starter? But if he can be healthy and locked in as a starter, then you want him in the rotation. But it's a fair question to ask if he can do that anymore.
How about any more moves that you would anticipate for the Cardinals prior to spring training?
Well, I would just like to, and I feel like people are going to say I'm being kind of like hedging here, but here's what, and I'm eager to get your thoughts on this. I just think that there's so many free agents out there right now that have a chance to make a good team, a great team. And I'm not talking about Harper or Machado. I'm talking about working on the margin. The Cardinals have this money that they haven't spent because they traded for Goldschmidt and they've signed Miller, but they didn't go out and go crazy about their guy off the bench and Robinson. That was a trade. And they didn't go out and go crazy for the backup catcher. That was Francisco Pena. He's very affordable. There's going to be a lot of guys out there that are rushing to take 2 and 1 year deals very soon. Yasmani Grandal with the Brewers, you know, apparently turned down a multi-year offer for $60 million 4 years by the Mets and ended up taking a 1 year deal for 18 plus. There are going to be good players out there, whether it's relievers, starters, or, you know, kind of position type utility guys, who I think can help put the Cardinals over the edge in some ways, eliminate some risk, add some upside. And I don't know who it is yet. I don't know that we'll know who it is until the market continues to leave some guys out in the cold. But when I look around, I see a guy like Marwin Gonzalez. I see a guy, you know, I see a guy like you said, Craig Kimbrell, Dallas Keuchel. Now, I don't know that all these guys are going to be left searching for deals, but I bet some of them are. And the Cardinals, to me, are positioned where they've addressed their biggest needs. They don't have to be needy, but why can't they, if there's one team out there that has the resources and the desire with emphasizing 2019, then they should be ready to snap up some of these guys that are looking for a contending home and maybe willing to take a little bit less money.
Two more subjects I want to address. And for those that tune in to this particular visit every Friday with Ben Fredrickson, it's a week that we or a visit that we look back at the week and also maybe the weekend ahead. But this past week we had the national championship in college football. I thought if there was ever a time for a player or a coach to look back on how you handle a post-game interview, and I realize he won, but look how he handled everything leading up to it. Look how he handles everything after it. And I mean throughout the season too. Dabo Swinney, I want to go play for him. I want to see if I have eligibility left, even after that stellar, great career I had at playing baseball at Lindenwood. That guy's awesome. I don't know, man. He's got it rolling, and he's got young players. And I mean young guys that are true freshmen at quarterback and skilled players at wide receiver. I don't know. I mean, he's got it rolling, Ben, and I'm not asking maybe specifically about him, I guess, but I to make it on a local feel of it, how far is Mizzou away from those types of situations? And I'm not talking about competing for a national championship, but how far off the map is a Missouri from playing, let's say, on a January day, January 1st bowl game, let's say, and really from the talent level of those types of teams?
Yeah, well, Clemson and Alabama are your two top teams in the country. I don't know that there's anybody that's really close right now to those coaches and their programs. And also, I don't know that there's going to be anybody who's close for the next couple seasons. That's the thing about this matchup is they're now 2-2 and meeting in the playoffs. And I don't think there's going to be a third party in the mix next season and maybe the one beyond that. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a true freshman. Unless they change the draft rules, he's going to have to play two more seasons. And some of his best pass catchers are true freshmen. Tua can't go to the league right away. Jalen Hurts announced that he's going to transfer. They've got about 3 5 stars probably ready to back him up. Eventually, Tua's younger brother is supposed to go to Alabama. I don't think Nick Saban's planning on retiring anytime soon. There was young, true freshmen all over that field in that game, and that tells you what level these guys are operating at in such different styles to some degree, because Dabo Sweeney built Clemson to be like Alabama. And you won't find a coach who has more respect for Nick Saban than Dabo Sweeney does, a former Alabama player. But, man, they couldn't be more different in terms of how they coach and their you know, behavior and their kind of their emotions. You know, Dabo kind of reminds you of almost like a youth pastor. And Nick Saban reminds him more of a guy who's walking down the factory line inspecting things for mistakes. And one is kind of a military-type leader, and the other wants to – you know, throw his arm around you, and he's laughing as one of his players is giving him a wet willy. I mean, these are drastically different leadership styles.
Could
right?
you imagine that they, with? Could you know, imagine Saban, that with Nick Saban?
He would have bit the kid's finger off. You know, but they both work, right? So, you know, Saban loves his players, and they know that. It's just communicated in a much different way, and I think more than anything, you see it in the coaching staff, like. Dabo Sweeney, one of the reasons Clemson is so dominant is because he's got this coaching staff that reminds me a lot of Gary Pinkel's. Now, on a much higher level. But that staff has been together for so long. Brent Venables has been around for a long time. No one can pry him out of Clemson. Their staff is so tight that they know how each other think. They know how each other – they know what play is going to come next. They don't even have to say it. They're in each other's head. Now, Saban's different. Saban grinds guys to dust. And then they go off and have success elsewhere, and they're better for it. But he has a very hard time keeping guys around. He rolls that staff over a ton. He's kind of become the guy that hires the coaches who are down and out and benefits from their knowledge, but also gives them a second chance. And I think that's catching up to him a little bit here because he's met a team that's recruiting as well and that has, you know, that has coaching as well. But Clemson has an advantage now in their ability to have a staff that's cohesive and is building year after year as opposed to starting fresh. So I think that's something that Saban evaluates, and he will. What went wrong in the national championship that he's got to look at is, why is this staff better than mine, and how can I combat this? Because Clemson's not going anywhere anytime soon unless Saban goes and hires one of those assistants, which he might very well try to do with a lot of money, unless the NFL comes calling. But in terms of Mizzou, I think Barry Odom's gotten this program moving, and I think he took a big step forward this year. The bowl loss was disappointing, he's got to figure out. I think they've got to do some soul searching on how they handle their play calling in late games, in close games. But in terms of the recruiting, positive results there. And, you know, you answered your biggest quarterback question and got some depth there, and also kept your incoming freshman, which is huge. And in terms of what the players feel about their coach, if you listen to those players talk about Barry Odom, it sounds like Clemson guys talking about Dabo Sweeney. I mean, they love Barry Odom. I mean, they would run through walls for this guy. You heard Drew Locke talk about that after the bowl loss. You know, he went on this unprompted speech about Odom and why the fans should believe in him and what he meant to Drew Locke as a player, as a man. I mean, it was pretty passionate and powerful. And that's how they feel about Coach Odom. I mean, ever since the day that he was announced as their head coach, and you saw the reaction in the room. So that part of it, he can tap into. And I think, you know, one of the harder parts for him is going to be maintaining his staff. You know, there's already chatter going on that maybe Georgia should come after Derek Dooley as their offensive coordinator. They just lost Jim Chaney to Tennessee. You know, Derek Dooley, if he continues to have an offense that produces guys like Drew Locke, or helps guys like Drew Locke, I said Jay didn't produce him, but and recruits guys like Kelly Bryant, then Derek Dooley's going to become a marked man for SEC teams. So is Missouri going to put up enough money to keep those guys around? Can Barry keep from losing some guys on his staff? that to me could be a big question here. Gary Pinkel had a lot of success because he kept his guys in-house for a very long time. Very rarely did he lose one of his marquee coordinators unless it was a no-brainer that he was going to a better job that he you know, wanted and hit one of his guys to go and grow at. I think Barry Odom's going to have to fight to get the money to keep some of his guys on his staff. That's one thing that will help him make that next step.
Luke Fuse, we are St. Louis.
It's happened. It's now open. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri. The first standalone ground-up Jeep store in the country. Largest Jeep inventory in St. Louis. If you want a Jeep, Lou Fuse Jeep is the place to go. 22 service bays, accessories, apparel, state-of-the-art facility. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
Final question. SLU, 2-0 now in conference play. And that's without Cartier Gordon. Mizzou took on Tennessee, started well, and then got, clearly Tennessee.
It was ugly, Dan. You can say it. It was ugly.
Head and shoulders, Tennessee above Mizzou. Do you see either way that these teams somehow make the NCAA tournament? Do you see either one finding a way to get into the tournament?
I think SLU has a better chance. I think SLU can win the A-10 without Cartier Gordon, Cartier Gordon, the loss of Cardi to me is a bigger obstacle for SLU in the future than it is this season. I think he was going to be a lot better, you know, as a sophomore, as a junior, if he stuck around. Maybe he had it in his head that he was going to be a one and done guy, but I don't necessarily think that he was ready for that. But they can survive without him this season, and they can be good without him this season. The SLU team is fascinating because I think. I was having this conversation with somebody tonight, the other night. I think SLU can pretty much lose to any team in the country, and I think it can just about beat any team in the country. I mean, they have a bad habit of playing down to their opponents. You saw that with UMass. That's not a good UMass team. But then they can rise to the occasion and beat Butler. So some good teams do that. They kind of their odometer kind of goes up and down with the team that they're playing. And they have that in them, and that's frustrating for fans, I get. But the good thing is they seem to play up the better teams sometimes too, and that will help them. I think this team still deserves to be the favorite, if not one of the favorites in the A-10. I think they can get in. Mizzou is going to have a tougher road, I think. Now, they had a good run there where they clipped Illinois, and Illinois is not very good. So that looks a little bit like not as good of a win as time goes on. And their win against Xavier looks good, but I'm not putting too much into their blowout loss to Tennessee because Tennessee, man, is going to make a lot of teams look very, very bad. They just are. And they're a very good team. I think they're a legitimate Final Four team. They have depth. They have size. They have experience. They brought back that entire team that went to the tournament last year and added guys to it. I mean, they're just good, well-coached, and old. They've got seniors and juniors all over the place. So Tennessee's going to run a lot of teams out of a gym. That was the most lopsided loss Konzo Martin has had since he's been at Mizzou. But if you watch Tennessee play Georgia, you saw a remarkable difference in the competitiveness and the desire of a Missouri team compared to Georgia, which just gave up on that game. So I think, the biggest thing to me in that game was Jeremiah Tillman, you know, taking himself out of the game 2-3 minutes in. You get an offensive foul and then a technical before you can even have a chance to score a basket, and then they got to put him on the bench. I mean, Missouri was probably never going to beat Tennessee, but you definitely were not going to do it with Jeremiah Tillman being in foul trouble. And he put himself in a position where the refs took him out of the game. Some of the calls were ticky-tacky, but Jeremiah's got to be better, and he's got to figure out a way to avoid that. So that's what jumped out to me. Missouri's going to have a chance. They're certainly not out of the tournament today. I think they're probably an NIT team, but they've surprised us before. I mean, they surprised us last year after Michael Porter Jr. went down. A huge test for them will be going to South Carolina because that team went from very bad to knocking off two conference teams, and that's always a very tough physical game every time you go play a Frank Martin team on the road.
Ben, thanks. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Sounds good, man. Talk soon.